You're very welcome back to Killiney in South County Dublin, the stunning coastal suburb of the capital. Dublin Bay is sparkling this sunny morning and the view is clear from the Sugarloaf Mountain in Wicklow to Howth Head. The sheltered stony Killiney beach is close by. Newborn seal pups can sometimes be seen here at this time of the year, and Killiney Hill is the best place to go to appreciate the full beauty of the coastline and beyond and get you closer to nature as well. We are here in the Patrick Kavanagh Suite of the Fitzpatrick Castle Hotel, an 18th century manor house once part of the Killiney Castle Estate. And it is politics that has brought us here. Fianna Fáil TDs and senators are meeting again today ahead of the resumption of the Dáil tomorrow. We're joined now by party leader, TD for Corkside Central, Antónis Dhá Mícheál Martin. You're very welcome.
Thank you very much indeed.
Good morning. The budget is coming up on October the 1st. Jack Chambers talked about an energy credit will be in that budget. Will it be one or two?
Again, the government will have to decide that, but cost of living is still very much in our minds because many families across the country are feeling the pressure because of the inflation over the last 3 years, particularly post the beginning of the Ukraine war. It particularly impacted energy. And energy costs is a big issue with families and indeed with businesses. And even though inflation has come down now to 2% and below that, there, prices are at an elevated high. Mm-hmm. And we're very clear that we have to look after people and do the best we can to protect people at the end of the budget.
And you gave three in the last two budgets. So I'm just wondering, will it be that or will it be less than that?
It may be less than that, but the specifics have to be worked out. I think it will be this year that it will be paid out to people.
That suggests just one then.
Well, maybe, again, it hasn't been decided. There's two significant meetings ahead of us with the three party leaders, the Minister for Finance, the Minister for Public Expenditure. We've had a number already since the summer economic statement of June. And so we're working fairly well towards a conclusion and having a budget on the 1st of October. But cost of living will be significant, and then housing and health, and obviously the taxation package.
And cost of living, particularly for those on low incomes, it's really hitting them hard. And we've seen a number of reports in the last number of weeks about the increasing numbers of children in poverty. Will there be a second tier child benefit payment for low income families?
Again, the very specifics of the budget and the social protection package have to be worked out. But obviously, in the last number of budgets, we were progressive in terms of looking after those on the least incomes. And certainly targeting has a clear role. Mm. I would point out, though, that in terms of education costs and in terms of healthcare costs, we have significantly reduced such costs. I mean, the free school book scheme up to junior certificate has been very significant in terms of school costs.
But that's second-tier child benefit.
And we hope to bring that to leaving certificate in the
forthcoming
estimates.
That second-tier child benefit, it is something that Leo Varadkar, this time last year in the Dáil, said that the government is considering this. It wouldn't happen in time for Budget 2024, yeah. But they are considering
it. We are considering that, yeah. We're going to, and
will it be in Budget 2025?
Well, we're considering it. There are issues in terms of announcing stuff that hasn't been finally decided yet by either the line minister or collectively.
Do you support in the cabinet?
I would support the targeted measures. There are more targeted measures even than that that can help child dependents and families where incomes are low or where there's a specific set of circumstances. There's a lot more we can do in disability, for example, in terms of a combination of tax measures and some expenditure measures which would alleviate the cost pressures on people with disabilities and children with additional needs, who have very significant costs over and above what others would have.
The Apple tax money, 14 billion euro, is that going to come into the state's coffers next year, next March?
It may come in sooner. And obviously there are some discussions between the government and the Department of Finance and Apple. It will not feature in this budget, but there will be a significant surplus apart from Apple by the end of this year. And as the Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers, said, we are having mini apples over the last number of years because of the very significant amounts of corporation tax revenue that is coming in. I think the issue with the Apple money is if you look at capital expenditure today, it's about 14 billion on an annual basis now. I do think the Apple money presents opportunities for us to future-proof key investments in housing, in water. And I've picked up a lot of issues, even at this meeting yesterday and today again, and I've been travelling around the country in different towns. Water is a big, big issue. It's a big enabler of housing, but it's stopping a lot of towns from developing more strongly and expanding more than they otherwise would.
Well, we see time and time again, the infrastructure is not capable of meeting the population.
So I think the Apple money, to me, and this is my own perspective on it, housing, water, and grid expanding the grid to make sure that we have energy capacity, given the new developments in wind energy, and the expansion of the grid is important.
And when you say housing, do you mean spending part of it directly on building social and affordable housing?
Yes, but what I'm saying, you see, we have to plan ahead. Mm. We have sufficient capital at the moment, but I think it's to give confidence to people that if we want to get to 60,000 houses a year, and we do, I mean, it was 20,000 when this government started, now it's close to 40,000 per annum.
But the official target is still 30,000.
Well, we'll be the targets are one thing, but we need to get to 60,000.
Mm. No, I know that, but this year, what will
you build? Make the point, the issue is how we do it and how we can give confidence to the industry and to everybody that it will be over the long haul. Mm-hmm. The Apple money gives us additional capacity to say to people, if we ring-fence it for housing or a certain proportion of it to housing, we can future-proof house spending for the next 5 years on the capital side, or at least support the necessary investment over the next decade. We could capitalise the Land Development Agency, for example. Now, we have AIB capital monies coming as well, which will be substantial, mm-hmm. on top of the surplus. So the issue will be, how do we give consistency, certainty, that housing is the number one issue? Young people need houses. We need to build more, faster. That's
when
the key
issue.
When
will you revise those targets? As I say, officially they're 30,000. When will you revise them upwards to what everyone in the expert industry believes they should be, at least 50,000 a year?
Yeah, I think that that will probably happen before the end of the year. But I can see already each political party is now trotting out figures. Mm. I'm more interested in the how of it. Mm. Targets are one thing. The targets are not a ceiling. They have never been a ceiling.
But your housing minister, Anne Taoiseach, keeps saying 40,000 this year, but we don't know what that's based on.
Well, sorry, it's based on projections that were close to 40,000. Last year was close to 33,000, mm-hmm. and that exceeded the target that was set in Housing for All.
But you've missed the social housing target for the last 3 years. Is that likely again this year?
We have done very well on social housing, though. I mean, it's 12,000 last year, between 8,000 new bills, leasing and acquisition.
But you missed the targets.
Yeah, but it's the highest since 1975 on social housing. Come on. I mean, we've built more social houses in the last 3 to 4 years than we did for the previous decade. So it's very significant. And we need to, and because we've built those foundations, the real issue for the next 4 to 5 years is driving on and building more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I worry what other parties like Sinn Féin are saying, let's legislate and let's transform the Land Development Agency. That just delays and disrupts again.
But
it took us 2 years to legislate for the Land Development Agency. Mm-hmm. It having been announced a couple of years
Sinn Féin
previously.
Can speak for themselves.
Yeah,
the social target, the housing target for this year is 9,300. Do you know how close you are to that at this point? Because we got figures way back at the start of the year, very low, over 150.
That's for new builds.
Yes.
Yeah, we're close to that, the Minister for Housing has said. And we were close to that target of 9,000, but you have to add on the tenant in situ scheme acquisition. So we're buying houses for social housing. And we're also, there's an element of leasing involved in as well, which is important in terms of preventing homelessness and so forth.
So at this point of the year, we're almost in the last 3 months of the year. Can you tell us how many completions there are overall?
Normally it's in the last quarter that those completions mm-hmm. will come. I can't give a precise amount, but I'm told it's close to 40,000.
Already but close some, to 40,000
well, so not already,
houses some, completed.
The projections are that okay. That's what we'll have at the end of the year.
We're a very wealthy country, you agree with that. I mean, we know the surpluses are heading for tens of billions in the next few years. Why do we feel and look like a poor country in so many aspects of society? We don't have enough houses. We've record homeless figures. We can't finish hospitals on time. We have 281 children who are waiting for spinal surgery. The Hospital Consultants Group says there's a record 913,000 people on some form of hospital waiting list. There's over 160 autistic children who are being denied their constitutional right to having an education, a school place. People are queuing in traffic every day. We can't build a metro system. The water infrastructure we've spoken about. Why are you failing to deliver on these essential services for the citizens?
I would disagree fundamentally with you when you say that we look like a poor country. We're not a poor country. We don't look like a poor country. You've made your point. Now, let me counteract what I think is an extremely negative, partisan and one-sided analysis of where modern Ireland is. If you take, for example, health, 20-odd years ago, we were at the lower rung of the table in terms of life expectancy. We're now at the top rung of the EU table in terms of life expectancy. If you take special education, for example, and we need to do more, The investment has ramped up in terms of 11 new special schools again, thousands of special needs assistants in their schools, thousands of extra teachers in the last 3 years alone. If you look at the PISA results, which measures literacy and numeracy across the world, Ireland is in the top quartile, if not the top three, in Europe. That's not a poor country.
No.
But I do accept the point that there are cohorts of our population are not in a situation where they should be. I think in medicine, for example, and coming out, again, like the IHA is a lobby and an advocacy. We engage with them. And I think they could equally make the point in terms of health. There's been a dramatic transformation of women's health, for example, in terms of the work that Stephen Donnelly has done, in terms of the menopause clinics, in terms of free IVF now coming on stream.
900,000 on a waiting list, they
say. I know, they're not right there now. Come on, the waiting lists have come down significantly since 2021, and the statistics are there, which the minister outlined yesterday. They're coming down quite significantly and have since 2021.
But do you agree it's not a good country to be sick in? It's not a good country to be poor in?
I don't agree with that. That's this country, I just explained, survival rates and cancer have increased exponentially in this country in the last 20 years because of national strategies in cancer. Cardiovascular, our heart disease rate has plummeted from where it was 20 years ago.
We know the battles that families with children with disabilities and children who are sick have constantly.
Yes, and that is where we've invested enormously. So the issue in health is investment and reform in governance of our health services. In education, I would argue, and I accept there are certain areas that annoy me and make me angry, and that would be the therapies, for example. I think the system has not, in terms of progressing disability, has not worked for parents, has not worked for families, and that's why Fianna Fáil want a new, completely new departure from where we've been on special needs therapists in particular. I want the multidisciplinary teams in our schools, starting with special schools, which we had 20 years ago, but the new system that the HSE brought in 2013 and then governments has not worked, and families have not got the therapists or access to therapies that they require, and that's something that I would acknowledge. And I have a clear policy platform now, which is at variance with what a lot of people in the system would want.
But you and Fine Gael have been in power now for so long, across the decades, and isn't it how you decide to use this money, what you decide to prioritise, is key to improving that list that I read out?
Fianna Fáil have been in government for 4 years.
You were out of government from 2011 to 2016. You were in a confidence in supply with Fine Gael, 16 to 20. But all
Audrey,
of before that,
that
and the decades before that. It's been yourselves and Fine Gael.
Audrey,
and
that's
Labour.
The Mary Lou Sinn Féin narrative now. Come on. That's the old line from Sinn Féin. Oh, you've been in confidence in supply. Was a positive thing for the country insofar as we, Fianna Fáil, contribute to a government at a time when Brexit happened. And Brexit was an existential threat at the time to our trade and economy. We did the right thing by the country, maybe not by the party. And I think that was a positive thing. But then it gets thrown at us in the manner that you have thrown it at us there now, which I think is not fair. I also would ask you, I mean, read Mark Henry. He gets very little coverage on RT or anything like that because he wrote a very good publication on Ireland at 100 Fact. I mean, there's two narratives in this country. There's a Sinn Féin narrative and Sock Dems and People Before Profit, which says the country is a failure. You've outlined some of that there in terms of that perspective. There's a completely different perspective, which says the economic model has served this country well over the last 40 years in terms of attracting multinationals in, which an economy matters here because the economy gives us the resources to actually invest in social services, in public services, in medicine, health, and education. So I accept we have an awful lot more to do in certain areas, but I do not accept the narrative of a failed state, which is the narrative of Sinn Féin, People Before Profit, because I think their model, they would disrupt the economic model that has been overall beneficial to this country, in my view. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe in free trade agreements that the European Union engages with Canada, for example. And these are core to making sure we have the resources to invest in services into the future.
Okay, I want to ask you about the North and legacy. Yeah. The Taoiseach on Friday said that the British government is taking a correct approach to legacy. But do you agree with the decision by the Labour government there not to hold a public inquiry into Sean Brown's murder?
No, I wanted an inquiry into Sean Brown's murder. I see the dilemmas generally in relation to legacy. I think we lost about 4 years with the British Conservative government's decision to unilaterally develop a new legacy act the current government is saying it's going to repeal and replace that. I've entered into discussions with Hilary Benn on that, the Northern Ireland Secretary of State, with a view. He is saying he is going to seriously amend that legislation. He has already dealt with immunity question. He's already dealt with civil cases being allowed back and with inquests being allowed back, which I think is a good initial development and start, in fairness, by the new Secretary of State.
Given the scale of the allegations around intelligence and state involvement in Sean Brown's murder, are you still pushing for that? Are you still backing the family?
I am backing the family, and I'm also backing a stronger legacy act, which would have an investigative arm to it, as well as an information retrieval arm. And that's the key issue, because there's many people out there, are many victims of provisional IRA violence that have had absolutely no closure in 25 years, of loyalist paramilitaries that have no closure, and of state collusion. I think Canova was an extremely important report by John Boucher, where he had a go at the, you know, he did outline, he didn't have a go, but he certainly exposed and shone a light on state collusion, but also on the provisional IRA's violence of 30 years, which he said was an attack on their own community, disabled people, women, and so on like that. So I, what I'm pushing for with Hilary Benn is, once and for all, can we get a legacy act? Can we get a legacy framework?
Are you convinced they'll repeal the Tories' legacy act?
I'm not convinced yet. I think the discussions we have had suggest that they're mulling over the nature of the reforms of the ICRIR, which is the body that has been created in the last act, which many victims groups have concerns about. We will be doing a new round of consultations with victims groups. I understand certain of the challenges that the Secretary of State faces, because if you go back to the drawing board, there's a potential you could be another 10 years trying to design.
So is that why your case against the UK at the European Court is still active?
That is still active. And the British government has indicated that they will be bringing forward legislation to amend the Act, and to also put flesh on the bone of the proposals that they've already announced.
Okay. Just want to ask you finally this morning, we're in the last couple of minutes, the European Commission, are you expecting that announcement this morning from Ursula von der Leyen?
My understanding is that will be this morning. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And do you know what post Michael McGrath is going to get?
I have a strong idea. I think it'll be a substantive post. And
Will it be justice?
I don't want to preempt the commissioner, but you may very well think that.
Okay, and would you be happy with that? Would Ireland
I
be
think
happy
I, it depends what emerges. I mean, there's been a lot of angst, it seems, just observing it. But it's a very substantial portfolio, because I think there's additional elements to it also, I understand. But we'll await the announcement later.
On the election date...
Michael McGrath is a very capable person. He's high calibre, and I think he'll make a first-class commissioner.
On the election date, you said you wanted to be February. Do you trust Simon Harris's commitment to run a full term, to take you up to
February? Yeah, I mean, Simon Harris, to be fair, has said, and he's volunteered, that he'll talk to us in terms of... and the three party leaders agreed on this as to when the date would be selected. It is the prerogative of a sitting Taoiseach.
Did he not give you a commitment when he became Taoiseach to run a full term?
But he volunteered that he was very clear when he came in that he volunteered that he wanted to run the full term. But can we just maybe stand back from it? I mean, it's the question of the day every day. There's not much between November and February to stand back from it. And to me, the fundamental issues, we want to get the finance bill done after the budget. There are logistical issues in terms of November, but a finance bill has to be done, a social protection bill has to be done. We've published a mental health bill, which is a long-awaited amendment of the 2001 mental health bill, which we'd like to see through. We'd like to see the defamation bill through. So all of that takes a bit of time, and it's a short parliamentary legislative...
But if it's a multi-billion euro budget, there will be a huge push to go to the country after that.
Yeah, but my experience tells me that budgets on their own don't win elections. We should not underestimate the sophistication of the Irish electorate. I think it's important that the budget deals with cost of living, deals with give workers a break in terms of tax, continue the momentum on housing and health expenditure. But as I say, it's now we're closing in September. October, November, December, January. We're talking about 4 months.
Is coalition with Fine Gael, again, your preferred option, along with maybe the Greens, the Lib Dems, the Soc Dems and Labour?
I think the policy will determine this. There are no certainties in life or in politics. We get a sense, and I've been knocking on many doors since the local elections in particular, a lot of people seem relatively okay with the policy thrust of this government, and there's a certain amongst a significant cohort of the electorate for a continuation of that, but there could be variations of
it. Would you ever govern with Sinn Féin as leader?
We will not be governing with Sinn Féin.
With you as leader?
With me as leader, but certainly it's not me, it's the party and the policy alignment. The policies simply do not align with Sinn Féin. We've seen that recently in terms of the housing question. And also there is that question of legacy that we discussed earlier. I do think Sinn Féin need to address what the provisional IRA did, and not triumphalize it, because we have a great opportunity for the young people of this generation to really have a broader philosophy, perspective in terms of violence, the use of violence for political ends. And I think we should grasp that opportunity.
Are you ever going to retire?
Contribute to that. Sorry?
Are you ever going to retire?
Well, I'm feeling good at the moment, and I'm interested and I'm engaged in political issues and political life. And as long as that remains, and as long as the hunger and the anger and the frustration is still there about failure to achieve certain things, well, I'll keep going.
Tánaiste, Fianna Fáil leader and TD for Cork South Central, Micheál Martin, thank you very much for joining us.